This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Lewis, Raise Your Game, and every Monday we have someone from Leadonomics joining us, but today we have not one, but two. Anyway, our topic today, when the world around us is going digital, can learning be an exception? How we learn will change through the incorporation of a variety of digital technologies, and this is to the advantage of the new age learner. Digitization learning will reduce overheads of content delivery while being able to target specific individuals' needs in an efficient manner. And over time, learners will be able to learn when they want, how they want, and what they want. So we have Sashi Kanapati from Leadonomics today with us, but also an additional guest, Madan Panatula, Director of Learning Solutions from Knowscape. I know he's originally from India, and he just came here from India as well. So welcome, gentlemen. Maybe we can start off, Madan, tell us a little bit about Knowscape, what your company does.
Thank you for having us here, Frida. Knowscape was founded in Singapore. It is an immersive gamification and experiential learning organization. We try to change the landscape of learning and development so that it suits the new age learner. And we are kind of a pioneer in this field. Our efforts have been recognized. We have won a couple of awards. Like last year, we won the Brendan Hall Award for Excellence in Learning and Development. And we've also been recognized as one of the top 20 gamification companies in the world. So we are here to make sure that the new age learner learns in the way that is suitable for this digital age.
Okay, so face for the young ones, Sashi.
That's right.
Okay, so how did you guys end up working together then?
Well, I think you know a little bit about Leadonomics. We're always scouring the world to see what's the best solutions out there for leadership development. And I think Knowscape, as Madan pointed out, the recognition is there, the content is there, the technology is there. They showed us some new, interesting, exciting stuff that we could incorporate into our learning. So we got into a partnership last year, and we've been developing that partnership to try to bring those new solutions to the market. So that's how we're...
So we're going to talk about, obviously, the digitization of learning. Where do we start, Sashi?
Well, first of all, I think it's important that you describe it as digitization of learning versus digital learning. I think a lot of people confuse the two words because... we talk about digital learning, and digital learning is usually e-learning, right? Mm. It's content that's delivered through an online medium or your computer or your mobile. But digitization is actually more than that. It's about how do we bring innovation, digital innovation, into all aspects of learning and development. And of course, digital learning is important, and it's a part of digitization of learning. But I think the focus should be on the larger initiative overall of digitization.
Okay. And do you think, you know, any companies in Malaysia is doing this at the moment and the acceptance of this?
I think the acceptance is growing. Mm. There are companies doing it in small scales. They're trying to introduce it. I think in any industry, you have different maturity of companies. So, you, of course, the majority of companies are late adopters. Mm. And then you have the front runners, right? The innovators who are trying to adopt this now. And that's where we're trying to provide our solutions.
Okay. And what are you seeing at Knowscape, though? It's largely the MNCs that are sort of embracing this a little bit more?
Actually, we define certain organizations as learning organizations, right? These organizations are ready to innovate, as Sashi said, they are the innovators, so they don't mind taking risks. These organizations right now are opening up to new ideas like digital learning or digitization of learning, and to make their employees much more ready for this digital transformation. And they are seeing a lot of benefits. And when people see these success case studies of what's happening outside there by these front runners, by these role models, they are opening up to this idea as well.
Any of you, are you allowed to reveal any of your customers who are clients who are doing this at the moment?
I cannot take a name of any clients, but this I can tell you this much. A lot of Fortune 500 companies are open to this idea, and currently we have working engagements with many of them now.
Okay, so again, digital learning, not to be confused with digitization of learning.
That's
it's an English lesson altogether. So why digitization of learning?
Okay, so as we know, I think everybody's familiar with digital disruptions. Mm. I think a lot of people quote Uber as the most common example. But I think there's a lot, right, that happened. For example, Salesforce took the enterprise, you know, application from a license model to a pay-per-use model. Mm. That's also digitization. There's the Internet of Things that's coming up now that's going to change the way we do things. Mm. So I think it's important that we also look at learning and development as the space that needs that disruption, that needs that digital innovation to be brought about. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah. So basically, in my mind, these tectonic shifts that Shashi is talking about, we have no ways of avoiding it. Mm. So what's changing outside? We are living in a VUCA world, which is
volatility, uncertainty, change, and
complex, okay, and complex. Ambiguous.
Okay.
Yeah. Great, Frida. So what is happening out there is that entry barriers into businesses, they are coming down, and anybody who has a great idea is able to launch a business and is able to succeed today. And the generation itself, the demography is changing. The customers are new age, so they have new expectations, and the learners are new age, and they have different methodology as well. So how does it impact L&D? First, we'll have to impart new skills to these people to handle this transformation that's going outside. Second, these new skills have to be imparted in new ways that the Gen Y and millennials will be able to imbibe and they'll be able to apply.
Okay, and I think people always refer to that Kodak story, right, where they came up with it and now, you know, they invented the digital camera. And then never expanded on it, and now they're gone.
Yeah, exactly. So I think digital disruption is something that we have to all pay attention to, and we should all be worried about.
Yeah.
But I think the focus here is that I think we look at that as, we think about that in terms of the Ubers and the other things that are a little bit more visible to us, but it hasn't actually penetrated the HR space yet. And I think that's what we're trying to do. That's what Nolscape does very well, is bringing that into things that we don't usually think about.
Yeah.
How do we use digital in everything we do? That includes learning. That includes HR processes, you know, big data. How do we bring all that in?
Yeah, and I don't think it replaces face-to-face training and all that, but it definitely is a new skill, you know, and I think that's what people also have to realize.
Yep, true. That's extremely important as well for people to realize that we are talking about new sets of skills here, which are a lot of skills that were applicable in the earlier decades are becoming irrelevant now because the machines are here to take over, to do a lot of operational efficiency and other things. And we as human beings can go much beyond and start thinking about big stuff now.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So if I may add, Prida, it's that you're right. We're not trying to replace classroom training or face-to-face learning completely. You need that human touch because that's where contextualization comes in. But can you add digital innovation on top of that to make it more effective? Do you have to deliver content through a person? Because people now are so comfortable with technology, they don't really need content from a person. What they need is contextualization from a person.
Okay, there's that the thing in content and context, right, that Roshan talked about. Now, okay, what else have you observed in the market?
Well, I think we're both from an IT background, so perhaps, Madan, if you want to pick that up in terms of what you've seen.
Yep, like how you say, because we are from such tech backgrounds, our opinions might be a little biased. So let's take an external view. Recently, Deloitte came out with its Burson report, and some of the trends for the 2017, for this year, that they are talking about are very interesting. They are talking about things like how behavioral economics is going to impact the new age learner, and how gamification is going to become a very important element in learning and development. And more importantly, they're talking about how HR itself will transform itself into a more objective function where it'll use analytics and it'll use a lot of numbers and data to make decisions. That is a huge transformation, right? If you see about 5 years, 10 years back, marketing was a very behavioral function, but they have transformed themselves into a much scientific function today using big data, using analytics. And that's where HR is heading right now. Thanks to digitization, thanks to the technological advancements around us, we will be able to capture those useful data points and we'll be able to make good use of it. So that's one thing. Other thing is we are going to bring out a lot of platforms. When I say we, the entire industry. So these platforms will be scalable and it'll ensure that we are able to really reach a larger audience. Let's take Wikipedia, for example. Before Wikipedia came in, people thought nobody would share knowledge freely.
Right.
If you give them the right platform, out there, people are ready to collaborate, share what they know, and to make sure that they share and they, pull people up outside in the society.
Okay. Just before you go on, Shashi, like when you say behavioral economics, what do you mean by behavioral economics?
So I think if I may... Yeah, so he talked about the research that was done in terms of what's out there in the market, you know, qualitatively as well, right? If you think about the behavior of the emerging workforce right now, we know, for example, that I think BFM has a great ad about too long, didn't read, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually a reality, right? People have very, very short attention spans. There was a recent Microsoft study that said that we have a shorter attention span than goldfish.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some, you know, details there that I don't understand, but in general, it speaks about a trend that is happening. Mm. People can't really sit down in a lecture hall and get information downloaded to them. We know that already, right? We know it has to be experiential. But on top of that, can it be on time? Can it be very customized? Can it be very reactive to the immediate needs of the user? So these are the things that impact how we learn, and these are the behavioral aspects that I think we need to address.
It's not like Matrix where we can just download and then we're able to say, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah, that one's a little bit further away, I think.
Okay, so what are the benefits? We'll discuss that in just a moment. Sashi Kadapati from Leonomics and Madan Panatola from Nolscape. You're listening to Raise a Game. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game. Good morning, Frida Liu here. We're talking about digitization learning, not to be confused with digital learning. Sashi Kanapati from Leonomics together with Madan Panatula from Nolscape, all the way from India. So, you know, we're discussing about digitization learning now. So what does digitization offer as benefits?
I would say that benefits can be divided into two buckets. The first thing is when you use technology for delivery of learning and development solutions, you would make sure that the experience is consistent and it is reliable and it is scalable. And the second benefit, it is all about the learner. Increasingly, we see that the future is towards ensuring that the learner has greater autonomy. You also mentioned in the introduction about what to learn, when to learn, how to learn. The learner will decide all these things. And we will be able to do that using technology. If you just open your Facebook, the feed that you get is very personalized for what you want to read. So we can achieve that with L&D if we leverage technology as well. And in Nolscape, how do we do it? We create simulations. So that puts the learner in these, it makes the learner wear the shoes of the decision maker. And he will be able to decide what he wants to do inside a particular scenario. Thereby, he contextualizes the learning to whatever he is doing in his day-to-day job.
If I may pitch in with an example, so Freda, if you got a pilot who went through piloting school, learned all the details and technicalities of piloting, would you be comfortable with that person immediately flying a plane that you are in?
No, of course not.
Of course. You'd expect that pilot to have gone through hours of simulation training, hours of practice before you would trust your life in their hands. And I think we need to take that same concepts to learning as well. I think we need to make sure that we don't just download information to our learner and expect them to excel at it, to be able to apply it. That's not reasonable, but that's what we've been doing. So we should really allow them a platform where they can experience it through a simulation, a safe environment where they can learn from their mistakes as well as their successes, and then take it back to the workplace to apply.
So what kind of digital simulations do you provide?
Most of our digital simulations revolve around behavioral competencies because, training for behavioral competencies and leadership competencies is quite complex.
Yeah.
As human beings, our faculties are limited. The way you recreate reality inside a classroom is not much effective when we try to do it just using one person. But if you use technology for the same purpose, so you can create a complex algorithm that has a lot of factors fed in, that has a lot of reality-related stories fed in, and that will enable the user to go in and take some decisions and see and get instant feedback about his actions. The competencies that we usually deal with are, we have a simulation for change management, we have a simulation for how to build trust, and we have a simulation on how to coach and how to sell better. We have a simulation that says how to lead your team better.
Do you have one for moral conduct?
Ethics and integrity are something that is extremely internal to a person, I believe. So I think
we need that.
Yeah.
Then everything else becomes easier.
Yeah, I think you do have a point. We haven't cracked that code yet.
Yeah. Because you need to get one for moral conduct, then your behavior will reflect that as well. So even with this digitalization of learning, we still need humans to facilitate this.
Correct. The idea of technology is not to replace human beings as such. The idea of technology is to enable these trainers. So just as you said, there could be a couple of topics which does not, which a sim cannot simulate as of now. Maybe with the help of artificial intelligence, we can get there. So, but the human beings or the trainers as such will play a much more effective role because these sims collect a large amount of data. And once you have the data, you can draw out very interesting analytics, very beautiful reports that are very personalized to the learner. And that's where the facilitator comes in. He will be, he or she will be able to analyze that report and further contextualize the learning and make a personalized learning course, maybe decide what the next interventions are for that particular person.
Right. So and it's, so yeah, it gets very personal and you know what the areas you need to work on. And then it's very individual in that sense. I can imagine. I love playing all these sort of games. Especially if you can get to play, right? Yeah. Okay. So, you know, any final thoughts around this?
Well, I think there's a lot that's going to happen in the future, really, because we've made headway in the digitization of learning in terms of digital simulations and assessments and things like that. People are now talking about bite-sized learning, learning that's delivered through mobile. But can we take it further? Can we have that learning come to you exactly at the moment that you need it, right? That would be taking advantage of that digitization to make it more useful for you. Can we do augmented reality learning, which I think Nolskip's already working on?
Yeah.
So you could actually walk around with a virtual reality headset where the things that you're interacting with in real life, there's learning that's embedded into your headset that helps you contextualize what
like
you learned.
It's like a movie I've seen.
many movies.
I've seen.
But, you know, those are all not very far from reality. And I think the companies like Nolskip, which are technology companies that are helping the learning and development space, are able to unleash those powers. And I think the future is very exciting for learning and development if we embrace this. But of course, there's going to be a cultural shift. There's still going to be a lot of people who are comfortable with human-centered learning. But like, for example, I've in the last month alone, most of the companies that I've spoken to, they don't even want a one-day classroom training. They say, can you do this half a day? And that's where digitization comes in and helps, because you can deliver content before the training through digital means. You can do very little content in that half day. You do more contextualization, and then the digital sims help it. So you get engaged learners because they can pay attention. You know, you can pay attention half a day. A day is longer and harder. And there's less time taken away from work. So, yeah, the possibilities are endless, I think. There's a lot to do.
A whole day works if there's cocktails involved. Martin, any final words?
Whatever Sashi said was quite right. I just pick up from the last point. The possibilities are just endless. And this is a very exciting time to be, because as he said, you will be able to assess people much more accurately. And when the HR goes and talks to the business, they'll be able to create a very objective way of putting forward their point of view. In fact, I would like to tell a little example. When one of our clients rolled out the simulation across their organization, they realized that many of the leaders followed a particular style of leadership. So that report, which was not originally intended to have this effect, actually had a great effect on the top management of the organization. They realized the managers were leading their team in a very, very uniform manner, which is not bad if you look at it from a very high level. But if you try to dig down a little deeper, you'll realize that a manager needs to flex his styles, and there is a reason why that's not happening in that organization. And that led to a major initiative that led to a lot of change within the managerial style of people, and the impact they got was beautiful. I think that's where we are heading now, right now, with all this.
Hey, if I may add one more, if you look at the future, right? I can imagine a day when an L&D manager of an organization is able to individualize the training that a person gets by customizing all the tools that's available, that's provided by companies like Leadernomics and Nolskip and all the other training providers out there. So the L&D manager becomes supremely powerful, and being able to tweak it just exactly right for that person by knowing that person's personality, character, work role, habits, competency gaps, and it's very individualized. That's exciting.
Okay, I wish I could play the song Imagine after this, but just imagine. Thanks for being with us, gentlemen. Sasha Kanapati from Leadonomics and Madam Panatula from Nullscape. You've been listening to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. We'll